الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما صدق الله العظيم.
In our previous session, we were talking about the great achievements of Sayyidina Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And of course, all of the work done by that great man was all great. And the smallest thing that we find he has done in his life turns out to be a great example for the Ummah till the Day of Judgment. But especially there are things that we can list them in the top of the list. That Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu thought of doing it at that time. And he saved the Ummah from a lot of differences. He saved the Ummah from getting divided in future by doing and establishing those things during his time. When Amirul Mu'mineen to people meant, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Obey Allah, obey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the person in charge. So they were applying أُولِي الْأَمْرِ to Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu fully, and they knew how to fulfill these orders of Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, just as it is ordered in Quran al-Kareem that أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, obey the person who's in charge. We talked about two of his great work that he did and might be really in the top of the list of the work of Umar radiallahu anhu. The first was forcing the Jews out of the Arabian Peninsula, and the second was conquering Baytul Maqdis, and might be the only time in the history of the world that part of the world which is considered to be very sacred for all the people of book, Jews, Christians, and is sacred for Muslims, that was conquered without any war, without any battle, without shedding any blood. If we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life and then Khulafa al-Rashideen all together, we find that all three haram, Makkah, Medina, and Baytul Maqdis. All of them, of course, Medina was built by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but conquering the towns, all of them were conquered without shedding any blood. He established Medina Munawwara, took over Medina Munawwara very easily. He conquered Makkah al-Mukarramah, the place that was considered almost impossible for anyone to take over it, without shedding the blood. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the Makkah peacefully. And Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu got the keys to Baytul Maqdis just by his traveling from Makkah, from Medina Munawwara to Jerusalem. And by looking at him, they said, according to our Bible, this is the man who's supposed to conquer the country. So whether we give it to him, without any war, or he's going to take it over anyway. So all three haram were conquered without any battles during those times. And this is a miracle of Islam. So these were two great achievements of Sayyidina Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Conquering Baytul Maqdis. And that was the first time in the history of Islam that Baytul Maqdis came into the hands of Muslims. And under the rule of Muslims. It's a long history and we don't want to go into those details. We will just stick to our subject, which is the achievements of Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. One of the great things that he established in Islam for Muslims throughout the history is the Islamic calendar. This Hijri calendar was not established during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. It was established during the time of Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Of course, the months were theirs, but standing the years from the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not there before. During the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when they thought about establishing an Islamic calendar, he gathered all the great Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in to seek their opinion of how to stand and establish this Islamic calendar. Some people said, from the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people said, from the time he started receiving the revelation when he was sitting in the cave of Hira, which means when he was 40 years old. And there could have been many different situations and many important events in the history of Islam. Battle of Badr, one of the greatest victories in the history of Islam. But Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in unanimously agreed that it should start from the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. Because that migration was really, if you look at that migration, it wasn't just leaving one town to another town. Millions of people traveled throughout the history. No one even cares about it. And imagine a person escaping from his enemies who have planned to kill him. They are surrounding his house. And he's trying to save his life. Only him and his partner leaving that town more than 1400 years back. That journey becomes a turning point into the history of the whole world, which we call it the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes a small work turns out to be too great. If it is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the condition. And sometimes the greatest work in the world turns out to be nothing if it is rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hajra radiyallahu anha is running to seek some water for her son, Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam, who was an infant at that time. She's running between Safa and Marwa, between the two mountains, We all know that millions of people run. Millions of people walk. Millions of people sacrifice their lives to save the life of their children. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved that running of Hajra radiallahu anha so much that it became sunnah for people till the day of judgment that when you go for Umrah or Hajj, you run the same way in the same place that Hajra radiallahu anha was running over there. Inside. Up to now, those marks still exist. And they have marked those places that this is the place where she ran and this is where we have to run. People sacrifice their lives to save the life of their children is not recorded in the history. She is just running between the two mountains and the place where she walks, we were supposed to walk. The place where she runs, we are supposed to run there. It became a sunnah for the ummah till the day of judgment. This is to tell us. Where is the sincerity of the ummah? And what's the value of the sincerity of the ummah in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Subhanallah, that a woman in the desert, no one is around her to record those things. No one is around her to record that part of the history. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal ayahs to His last messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that as zillions of your followers that will be following you till the day of judgment to do the same thing that that woman was doing in that desert. The subject is forcing me to continue on it for a few more moments. And the importance of it is not allowing us to go back. And I think spending a few more moments on the subject won't hurt. And that is about sometime we look at a small work and we look at it as being too small. And we look down at some people's work. Our work. And sometimes we look at our own work and consider it too great and we feel that I have achieved a lot. These are few examples that tell us it's not we who would decide whether it's small or big. The one who decides is Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who would decide. Imam Muhammad rahimahullah, when he passed away, who did a great work for the Muslims, and he wrote a lot of books of fiqh, explanation of hadith. When he passed away, someone saw him in his dream and asked him, Muhammad, can you tell me what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell you? How was the dealings over there? What was the situation that you went through? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me, O Muhammad, you don't want me to judge you for your deeds. Leave all of your work aside. I will just send you to Jannah for one thing that I liked you were doing. What was that? One day he was writing. As he was writing, in those days they used to dip the pen in the ink. So he dipped the pen in the ink. He took it out and now was thinking what he was supposed to write. While he's thinking, a fly came, sat on his pen and sat exactly where the ink was. So he thought that the fly is thirsty. Let it drink a little of ink and then I will start writing. Muhammad, because of having mercy on that fly and stopping for that fly till it will drink, that act, I loved it so much that this is enough for me that I will send you to Jannah. What is small and what is big? If it is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the smallest thing is the biggest thing in the world. And if it is rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the biggest thing and the thing that we would consider it the most important achievement in our life will not worth anything. So I was mentioning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrating from Makkah to Medina Munawwara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that journey a turning point for the whole world. And that journey, that hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, became a way of establishing this deen of Islam, the deen that was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the human beings. And the last deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to send, that if people will make changes into this deen, then no deen will exist anymore, and no people will exist anymore, that will be the time of the Day of Judgment. That journey became the turning point for the establishment of that deen. And Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in decided during the time of Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu that they should start the Islamic calendar from the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was something totally different than all of the other calendars that do exist in the world. Because previously, all the other calendars that you find, either they start from a birth of a very important person, celebrating the birthday of a person, celebrating a victory over other people, which is hurting the feelings of those people, who irrespective who they are, they might be our worst enemies, but the time you celebrate your victory, if they would start celebrating the Battle of Badr, there will be people who will be hurt by the celebration that they are celebrating the victory against us. Or they are celebrating the taking over, the conquering of any country, and that is also hurting the people of those of that country. This choice that Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in made at that time, you can never find a better choice than this. Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a journey, a travel of the Prophet of Islam. No one is hurt. He is skipping with his life, with his friend, that all he's trying to do. And it became such an important event that it turned the history of the whole universe. So that was one of the great achievements of Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Further one, during the time of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, we all know that they compiled Quran al-Kareem. The first person in Islam to think about compiling the Quran in the form of a book was Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. He is the one who told Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, Abu Bakr, we should compile the Quran, and Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu was objecting to that. But finally, Umar radiyallahu anhu, when he continued insisting on Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu says, فَشَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرِي لِمَا شَرَحَ لَهُ صَدْرَ عُمَرَ بْنِ الْخَطَّابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in my heart the same feelings that he had put in the heart of Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. But the first time the person felt that we should compile the Quran, and the first person who had that feeling was Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Till the day of judgment, whoever will recite a single dot of Quran, a single word of Quran, the reward is going back to Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Another great achievement, or great work that he did at that time, when they were conquering different states, different countries, different towns, Umar radiallahu anhu knew that people will start having a lot of differences about different things of Islam. How to do this, how to perform the salah, how to do that, how to keep the faith, different things of Islam. So he started assigning one of the knowledgeable Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in in each town, that the people of the town, if they need to ask any question about deen, about sharia, about Quran, about hadith, about fiqh, ask that person. No one other than that person is allowed to give a fatwa, in other words, in that town. And that kept all the people together. Another great thing that Umar radiallahu anhu did was, he extended the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we always read in the history the masjid was small. But still you have to keep in mind, small means according to the number of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, not considering our masjid here and we think small, which means as big as this or smaller than this. No. It was much larger than this masjid. if some of you have been to Medina Munawwara, and may Allah bless all of us to go that, to that place and get the blessings of performing the salah in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those who have not seen it, you may remember and recall seeing it in the picture. The mihrab. The place of the mihrab that you find it nowadays is exactly the same place where the mihrab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at that time. Keeping in mind that there are two mihrab nowadays. One is where nowadays the Imam of the Haram stands. That's not the mihrab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Behind that there is another mihrab. And they call it the old haram. In that place there is a mihrab. In the line of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grave. That is the mihrab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried is, was the house of Aisha radiyallahu anha. So if you try to remember the distance between the house of Aisha radiyallahu anha, which is the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nowadays, up to the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the minbar, keep in mind, has to be in the middle of the masjid. So that was in the middle of the masjid. So there was same distance of the other side of the mihrab. That whole part was the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was a large masjid. But it was small according to the number of Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een. So Umar radiyallahu anhu thought of extending the masjid. And one of the very interesting things that happened during that time was Abbas radiyallahu anhu, who was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his house was just next to the masjid. And in order to extend the masjid, they had to get his house and demolish his house to build the masjid over there. Abbas radiyallahu anhu said to Umar, I'm not going to sell this house to you. Umar radiyallahu anhu was so upset. He said, if you won't sell it to me, I'll take it away from you by force. Because I want to extend the masjid. There is no other way we can extend the masjid. So this is the only way, and I'm going to take the house from you by force. By the way, Abbas radiyallahu anhu, we know that he was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle. And he always liked, they were too close. Abbas radiyallahu anhu, Umar radiyallahu anhu was very close. But he always liked to give Umar radiyallahu anhu a little hard time before he would do his work. As good friends will do to each other. In one of the occasions, Umar radiyallahu anhu went to the masjid. It was raining heavy that day. And the drain from the house of Abbas radiyallahu anhu, in those days when they used to make the drain, they never put a pipe down, coming down. It was only top on the roof. So the water was dripping towards the door of the masjid. And as the water is dripping towards the door of the masjid, people coming to the salah, leaving after salah, the mud was getting onto their clothes. It's flying on their clothes. Umar radiallahu anhu came and he saw that situation. He gets so upset. He got something high to climb and he took that drain out and threw it away. Abbas radiallahu anhu came. He asked, who did this to my home? They told him, Amir al-Mu'mineen did it. Okay. After salah, he went in. Why did you do this? He said, because it was hurting the musalleen that are coming for salah. And I know according to the sharia, I have the right to do it. Because you cannot keep your drainage toward the side of the masjid. That was hurting people. He said, I know that also. I know that also. But you have to answer me another question. The person who put that drain in that spot, in that place, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He put it with his own hand over there. How dare you can take it away and throw it away? When Umar radiallahu anhu heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had put it there, he said, then put everything else on the side. Abbas, please, I will be sitting down, climb on my shoulders. Climb on the shoulders of Amir al-Mu'mineen and put that dream back on its place. He said, I won't do that. You took it with your hands, you have to put it back with your own hands. And he really doesn't want to climb on his shoulder. So finally they put that dream back. So now this occasion they want to buy the house. And Abbas radiallahu anhu said, I'm not going to sell it to you. Umar radiallahu anhu said, I will take it by force. Abbas radiallahu anhu said, then we have to have a judge who would decide that. Can you take it by force? Does Sharia allow you to take it by force? So they assigned a judge. Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu. They asked him, Ubay radiallahu anhu said, Umar, you don't have a right to take it by force. Abbas radiallahu anhu said, see, I told you I won't sell it to you. Now I will give it to you for free. I just wanted to make sure that everyone realizes that we follow the Sharia of Islam and we follow the right rules of Sharia. Now it's for you. I'll give it to you for free. So these were some of the things that Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu did during his lifetime. And there are many more, as I said. But these might be some of the things we can remember or we can keep on the top of the list. And especially at this time, I did not talk about all the wars that took place during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu and conquering the superpowers, the Roman and the Persian Empire that was at the time. Because inshallah we will talk about that at the end of Khulafa ar-Rashideen. After we finish talking about all four Khulafa ar-Rashideen, then inshallah we will talk about conquering the Roman and the Persian Empire and how did Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in achieve that, something that even today if we think about it, it seems impossible. How did Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in did it? How did Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in got that great help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do all of that great work that will be remembered throughout the history, and something that even today we can never think of doing it if we don't get back the same way, if we won't use the same method that those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in used. Inshallah, we'll talk about those details in our next session. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.